Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's the third day of our literature unit for the month of March 2020. And the featured work of literature we're talking about this week, or at least this month, is The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien.
So today, as we always do, we're going to talk about some of the themes or messages that the author was trying to communicate to the readers. I think some of this is subjective, which means it's your opinion. A lot of people read books and come away with different messages, you know. I think things speak to you based on what's been happening in your own life. That's what's magical about books to me is that, you know, someone can read the same, people can read the same book and come away with, you know, some of the messages, of course, will be similar, but others will be different. It just depends on what's been happening in your own life and your background. So these are just some of the ideas or themes that are in the book. But of course, we encourage you to pick up a copy yourself and read through The Hobbit. It's not very long, you know, and I think it's something that our readers would really enjoy. Right now, we're going to read through today's lesson, Tom is at least, and then we'll be back to talk about some of these words and phrases.
Though Tolkien wrote The Hobbit as a children's story, it has many deep themes. One is personal growth. As the tale progresses, Bilbo develops from an ordinary person into a hero. At the start, he is scared and useless and needs Gandalf and the dwarves to save him. Later, while still scared, he finds the courage to face dangerous situations and uses his wits to become their savior in turn. One thing Bilbo retains, however, is his love of simple things like food and home. He never feels the lust for gold that affects so many other characters. Greed and its consequences are a theme throughout the story. Thorin's greed for gold causes him and Bilbo to fall out, as well as stirs up conflict between the dwarves, elves, and men. Tolkien even uses the landscape as a metaphor for the ruin brought about by greed. Smaug, the greediest creature of them all, lives in an empty wasteland where nothing grows. He may have a pile of treasure, but there's no beauty in his surroundings. Thorin delivers an important message on greed before he dies, saying, "If more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world." Loyalty is another key idea. At first, the dwarves don't think much of Bilbo, but they do their best to help him. He repays their loyalty when he rescues them from giant spiders and the elves. Later, Bilbo stays loyal to the dwarves even when Thorin's greed has driven him away. While he does try to make peace with the dwarves' enemies, he does so in an effort to save his friends' lives. Bilbo's constancy makes a great difference in the fates of everyone around him.
Okay, guys, let's dive right into this. It says here in the first paragraph, though, Tolkien wrote The Hobbit as a children's story. Remember, he thought it was a cute fairy tale for young readers. Even though, you know, that was his audience, children, it has many deep themes. But that's a sign of a good book, I think, if it has a lot of deep messages, which means you can read it several times and come away with different messages, different ideas that stick with you. One of the themes that Tolkien was really sure to get in there was personal growth, that people can change as, you know, they confront or face up to different difficulties, especially in your life. If your life is easy and you never have any challenges, you probably won't grow very much as a person. I find that I've changed and become a better person through the hard things that I've gone through and not the easy times of life. So this is one of the themes in the book, personal growth. Remember, as the tale continues or progresses, Bilbo, who starts out as a chicken, he's kind of not very courageous.
He literally does, a chicken?
Oh, no, not literally a chicken. That's a name we call people who are scared. Oh, you little chicken. Especially kids. or you'll hear him go, bawk, 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 the chicken sound. I'm not a very good chicken, sorry. They'll do that if kids are chicken to do something. We use it as a verb, too. Anyway, he's not very courageous when the book starts out. He doesn't want to go with the dwarves. Are you kidding? Mm. No, he could be in dangerous situations. But as the story progresses, as they journey on, he develops into a hero, and he kind of saves the day for the dwarfs, and he also rescues the treasure from the scary dragon.
Right, so that's a good theme of a lot of good novels where the person kind of changes.
Becomes a hero, I love that.
Yeah, he's a basic down-to-earth hobbit there. He just wants to stay in Hobbiton, which is his hometown there. And he joins this group of dwarves and Gandalf the Wizard, and he goes off on this adventure. So again, he's scared at the beginning, and Gandalf needs to help him, and the dwarves help him too, but he's later scared, but he finds the courage to face dangerous situations and uses his wits to become the savior in turn. So this happens a lot when we confront danger. Mm-hmm. We either chicken out and run away, mommy, help me, or we actually face the situation and we do what we can and then we grow as a result. Gee, I didn't know I had it in me.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was such a hero, but gee, I wish I had known that earlier. I could have studied business in college or something.
And I'm braver than I thought.
I could be a really rich millionaire now instead of a poor guy working as a dishwasher, but in any case here, he had to use his wits to become their savior in turn. So here we've got the word wits. That is a plural noun here. Wits, that just means things in your thinking, mental sharpness, your ability to come up with solutions to problems. You need to have your wits about you, we often say. In other words, you need to be ready to face situations and to be able to think up ideas really quickly in order to win.
Yeah, there is a difference between using wits in the plural form and wit in the singular form. If you're talking about somebody's intelligence and their ability to be creative and get out of trouble and just kind of sharp, always use the plural form. You know, he used his wits to get himself out of danger. But if you say someone is a great wit or they have a lot of wit, it means they're very clever and funny. It's even better than just being funny. Witty, if you're witty and that's the adjective form, it's a smart kind of humor. It's not, you know, bathroom humor. Anyone can do that. Or I know a lot of comedians just swear on stage and people laugh. Ha, ha, ha. That's not witty. Witty is you're really kind of using your brains, and it's a smart kind of humor. Well, wits here, of course, help him as he confronts danger, and he turns into a savior for these dwarves. A savior is somebody who saves you. So we often refer to Jesus Christ as the savior, capital S, for Christian people. But a savior can be somebody who saves one person from danger or maybe a country, you know. I think all of our countries in our history have people who have been saviors for a particular the country in a particular time, either in war or when there's been some sort of danger, maybe some sort of natural disaster. Somebody who is able to save a lot of people would have been their savior. So that's what he became for the dwarves.
Right. So he used his wits about him. He faced the situation. He confronted the dragon and the spiders and became the savior of those dwarves. Now, here in the next paragraph, it says, one thing Bilbo retains, however, is his love of simple things like food and home. So he could have changed. He could have let this go to his head, you know. Gee, I'm so smart now. I've been able to fight this dragon and help these dwarves. He could have let it go to his head and become really conceited.
Arrogant
and stuff like that. But no, he still is a simple kind of guy. Yeah, when this adventure's over, I'm still going to go back home to my nice, comfortable hole in the ground and going to have the same food I've always enjoyed and hang out with my friends. It's going to be a simple life like I had before. So, yes, he retains his love of simple things. So here we've got the verb to retain, which means you keep it. You continue to have it. You don't lose it.
Yeah. For example, my parents' house still retains a very nice, charming decoration to it. So it just keeps it. It doesn't change. So he retains his love of simple things. We talked about that, I think on, was it day one of our unit when we were talking about the plot, that he enjoys the simple pleasures of life. And those simple pleasures here are listed as being food and home. He doesn't need a lot of gold. He doesn't need to be famous or be on TV or any of those things. He doesn't care about money. He just wants to be home with the things he loves and the people he loves. He never feels the lust for gold that affects a lot of the characters in the book, The Hobbit. It really does, and it turns a lot of the characters, not evil, but it makes characters do things that they probably shouldn't have done, like Thorne, who is the leader of the dwarves. Now, if you have a lust for something, it's a very strong appetite for something, a strong desire. We use lust as a noun to talk about a strong sexual desire. You love somebody, you know, that way, in that love way. But here, you can lust after things. If you use lust, though, it's a negative feeling to that verb. If you lust after something, it usually means somebody's willing to do things that aren't necessarily good in order to get what they're lusting after. So, but he never feels that lust for gold that affects a lot of the other characters and changes those other characters into bad characters, at least for a while, right? They do things they probably shouldn't have done.
Yeah, to him, gold is just something in your teeth if you need a filling, or it's used in scientific instruments. It's not something you need to hoard and get a lot of so you can show off to your friends and everything like that. He's a simple kind of down-to-earth guy,
So
he does not have that lust for gold that lots of the other characters have. Now, greed is another theme. Greed and its consequences are a theme also in this book throughout the story. So greed, of course, is a strong desire for something. It's similar to lust, but greed is more specific about wealth or money or things like that. And of course, the adjective is greedy. Lots of rich people are greedy. They can't get enough. They've already got billions of dollars and they still want more.
You don't necessarily just have to be greedy for money. You could be greedy about food or time. You just don't want to share. You're too selfish. I feel pretty greedy when there are donuts, you know, in the room. I want to eat them all. I don't want to share. Right now, we're going to share some of our time with our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to continue talking about the themes in The Hobbit.
Hello, my name is Shelby.《哈比人》这本书带有许多启发，包含了个人成长、对简单事情的喜爱以及忠诚等等。我们来看第一段的地方，在第三句 ，as 随着这故事的 progresses 呢，当作动词进行或者发展的意思，而且它暗示是往好的方面来推进哦。如果把它 pro 改成 regress， 它是事情暗示越来越糟，往相反的方向发展。好 ，Bilbo 呢就开始演变 from 从一个 ordinary person 一个普通人一个平凡的人 into 变成一个英雄。我们到第五句的地方 later 稍晚之后呢 while 这里当连接词表示虽然的意思，虽然还是很害怕，这里省略掉主词动词 he is 变成了一个分词构句，他发现勇气 to face 是面对 confront 的意思，来面对危险的情况，而且使用他的 wits 就是机智来变成一个 savior 是拯救者救赎者，也可以在 O 跟 R 中间呢放一个 U， 还是念成 savior， 但是不要念成 saver 是另外一个生字，表示品尝的意思了。In turn 是反过来轮流或按照顺序的意思，轮流说出自己的名字吧，那就是 call out your names in turn。 现在反过来 Bilbo 呢就拯救了其他人，产生了个人成长。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's resume our lesson, everybody. Again, Our novel for the month of March is The Hobbit. So remember, we're talking about some of the themes. And just to review here, we're talking about the themes of loving of simple things and retaining your original personality, not having a lust for gold, and greed and its consequences. If you're greedy, then things are going to happen to you.
Now, Thorin is the dwarves' leader. He's the big guy, and he has a real greed for gold. Now, it was their gold they're trying to get back, you know. It's not like they're stealing somebody else's gold. Smaug had stolen the dwarves' gold, and Thorin wanted it back, but his greed for it causes him and Bilbo to fall out. If you talk about a friendship falling out or friends falling out, yeah, they had a falling out 10 years ago. You'll often hear people gossiping about friends maybe that no longer are friends. They don't get along anymore. They had a falling out, or they fell out. Yeah, it just means they had some sort of fight and they're no longer talking to each other, or they're no longer friends. Well, his greed causes his friendship with Bilbo to be destroyed, but it also stirs up conflict between the dwarves, elves, and men. If you stir something up, it just means, you know, it's causing some sort of commotion or chaos, and there's some bad feelings there to stir up. We often see it when people are writing about anger. Ooh, he's really good at stirring up anger, you know, in his team or among his teammates. Or, wow, when Johnny took most of the donuts, you know, at the party, it really stirred up everybody to start yelling at him. So to cause for a lot of emotion to exist, to stir something up.
Yep, to cause a commotion, to cause trouble, to stir up conflict. So that's what happens because of Thorin's greed for gold. Remember, as, what's his name, Gecko in the movie Wall Street, greed is good. That was a famous quote from that movie.
I think he said greed is God.
Oh, he did? Okay, I thought he said greed is good.
Oh, I don't know. I never saw the movie.
We'd have to look that up. We're not actually talking about Wall Street in today's program. But in any case here, yes, he's got that greed for gold. And so Bilbo and Thorin fall out, or they have a falling out. And that also stirs up or causes a conflict between the dwarves, elves, and men. They are at each other's throats. They don't like each other, and they're about to go to war over all this gold.
Yeah, he does say greed is good.
Okay,
yeah.
At least I have that right, but that's an old movie.
Yeah,
but in any
really
case
old.
Here, Tolkien even uses the landscape as a metaphor for the ruin brought about by greed. Remember, Tolkien was a soldier in World War I, and he saw lots of landscapes, as we described before, and he described them in his writing. So landscape is very important to him. So he uses the landscape as a metaphor. Now, a metaphor is a figure of speech in which you use a word or a phrase to describe something, but the word or phrase is something that really doesn't apply to that thing. For example, a river of tears. You might cry a river of tears if your boyfriend leaves you. Mm. You know, your tears aren't really forming a river, but you're using the river to describe that thing. And so we're using the mountain here as a metaphor for grief. At least the landscape, and I'm assuming it's talking about that cave inside the mountain.
Right. So, yeah, so they're talking about that as the metaphor. It did have a lot of ruin, but it was all brought about by greed. What caused it to bring about is just another way to say something was something caused something else to bring about. Yeah, it's really sad. So Smaug, he was the greediest creature of them all. He lives in a wasteland, an empty wasteland. A wasteland is a word we use when we're talking about an area of land that's really tough to grow anything on. Maybe the soil has been damaged. Typically, a wasteland is an area where there's been a war or maybe a natural disaster that destroyed everything. That's a wasteland. Nothing grows where he is. He may have a pile of treasure. He has the coins. He has the gold, but there's no beauty in his surroundings. That's so true.
Yep, he lives in that wasteland. Of course, that reminds me of the T.S. Eliot poem, The Wasteland. April is the cruelest month, but that's another subject.
I love April.
But in any case, yes, this is a metaphor for greed with that mountain. It's a wasteland. Nothing grows there. here. And he may have a pile of treasure, that's true, but there's no beauty in his surroundings.
No.
He's got the money, but it's like living in a gold cage. You got all that money, but you can't really do anything with it. So that's a metaphor for greed here. And Thorin delivers an important message on greed before he dies, saying, if more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. So in this sentence here, we've got value something over something or value something above something, which means you think that thing is more valuable than something else. So if we valued food and cheer and song more than hoarded gold, then this would be a very happy world. Hoard here is when you keep stuff and you want more and more of it, hoarding gold.
You collect it, and it's, you know, you just don't want to use it or give it away or let other people have it either.
Right, yeah. Or we've got hoarders in the world who keep everything and their houses get full of junk and stuff like that. So this is hoarded gold, and he says, hey, it's actually more important to enjoy food and to be happy and sing songs with your friends and play mahjong or whatever. Those are the simple pleasures in life.
Yeah, back then they used that word merry so much more than we do. We use happy, right?
Well, we say Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's true, but merrier, oh, he's so merry. Yeah, we don't use that so much anymore. He's so happy. So loyalty is another key idea, of course, as a theme in the book. If you're loyal, loyalty is the noun form of the adjective loyal. If you're a loyal friend, you're someone who is always supportive of your friends. You fight for them. You support them. You don't betray them or hurt them in any way. You are loyal. Loyalty is really important. Yeah, if you're loyal, you always support your friends and your family. You don't ever, you know, reveal secrets, perhaps, that they've told you. My mom would always say, family is always loyal to each other. We always protect our family members. And if something happened at home, we wouldn't tell our friends, you know. We were loyal to our brothers and sisters and our parents. Well, at first, the dwarves don't think much of Bilbo. It's kind of a chicken, remember? He's afraid of everything, but then he ends up saving them and rescuing them. But they do their best to help him.
Yep, he repays their loyalty when he rescues them from giant spiders and the elves, and later Bilbo stays loyal to the dwarves.
Yeah.
Even when Thorin's greed has driven him away. Thorin was a jerk to Bilbo, but Bilbo is still loyal to the dwarves. While he does try to make peace with the dwarves' enemies, he does so in an effort to save his friends' lives. So he was doing it for their own good.
Right.
Not because he wanted to see the dwarves die, but he was trying to help them out. I'm just trying to help you out.
Right.
You need to be more grateful. And Bilbo's constancy makes a great difference in the fates of everyone around him. Constancy is similar in meaning to loyalty. It just means you're faithful and you can always be depended on, etc.
Yeah, another word we'd use here is an adjective is constant. He's very constant. He's a constant friend. It's kind of an old-fashioned word, I think, but it does mean faithful and dependable. Right now, it's just about time for us to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
那第二个启发是对简单事物的喜爱。我们到第二段第四句。 Thorin's greed for gold. Thorin 就是索林那个矮人的领袖，他的贪念啊 ，for something 就是对什么的贪念，让他跟 Bilbo to fall out. Fall out 照字面是掉下来，但是用在口语上表示吵架的意思。She falls out with her boyfriend. 她和男朋友吵架。As well as 表示以及，以及干嘛呢 ？Stirs up. Stirs up 表示激起。引起了 conflict 冲突。那 stir 呢是一种翻动搅动的动作，妈妈在厨房里大火快烧就是一个 stir fry 的动作。好，而且呢他们这种贪念还引起了精灵矮人跟人类之间的冲突。我们到第八句的地方。Thorin delivers a message. Deliver 是递送、传送的意思。Deliver a message 表示说发出一个讯息，传达出一个讯息。 on 后面加什么事情，在他念上这件事情。他临终前说啊，如果我们当中有更多人 valued， value 是当作动词珍惜的意思，相当于 treasure 或者是 cherish。如果我们当中能够有更多珍惜这些食物、欢愉或歌曲的人， above 是在什么之上，在这里当成超过 more than 的意思。Hoarded gold， hold 是囤积储藏， people hold food 就是人们囤积食物，那 hoarded 表示被囤积起来了。如果我们的人能够珍惜欢愉胜过这些沉堆的黄金，它会是一个比较快乐的世界。接着呢，我们来讨论第三个要点，就是 loyalty 忠诚。在第三段的第一句， loyalty is another key idea， 忠诚是另外一个重要的概念。 loyalty 是名词，如果是拿掉 ty 变成 loyal 就是形容词，它的用法 loyal to something， 对什么要忠心，我们应该对国家效忠， we should be loyal to our country。 another 是没有指定的另外一个， key 是重要的，对什么的关键，就可以说 key to something。 在故事里面， Bilbo 对他的朋友很忠诚哦。我们到第五句的地方， while 当成连接词，尽管，尽管他 does， 这是助动词，表示强调语气，的确的意思。他真的要 make peace with， 是跟谁握手言和，和谁和平相处的意思。跟谁呢？ The dwarf's enemies， 就是矮人的敌人，也就是指人类跟精灵。他这么做的目的也不过是in an effort to， effort 是努力，这个片语 in an effort to 表示为了要，类似的片语还有 in an attempt to 或者 in order to， 都是为了要，我要为了要拯救他朋友的生命啊。那 Bilbo 的 constancy 就是持久不变，这里当成忠诚，他的忠诚呢 makes a great difference， 使一些大有不同了。如果把 a great 形容词改成 no 的话，就一点也没有差别。好，在哪方面大有不同呢？ in 加方面，在每个人的命运上。以上呢是今天的讲解，谢谢收听。
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we've inspired you to read this book or at least go see the movies. So from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.